I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5-Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with three of the tools today. Hey. Back from stopping at truck stops and making in phone calls and appearing as Jim Bob on the podcast, we have CJ McLaughlin.
What's up, man? I'm back live and in color. I'm excited. You know, usually whenever we get all together, like fresh off a vacation or, you know, a week or two away, we be off the chain. So I'm expecting today's show to be off the chain.
Oh, yeah, it should be good. Well, guess what, man? It should be off the chain. You know why?
Why?
Because we had some football to talk about. Week Hell one. Yeah.
Preseason right around the corner.
Yeah. And honestly, it's so funny because, like, preseason, it's like kissing your cousin. Because literally, like, you go in, it's like, oh, I'm making out with somebody. And then after the first quarter and the starters come out, it's like the thoughts creeping. You're like, oh, man, I'm making out with my cousin.
Like, oh, man, I got rock hard for this.
Oh, Nate Parker, what's up, man? Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, well, speaking of rock hard, happy to be here. Welcome back, CJ. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, the news is kind of fading a little bit because we have teams actually concentrating on football. So there isn't a ton to talk about today, but there's a few things to touch on. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson. Now, the Texans have had him fourth on the depth chart. We've talked out his legal situation. No updates there, really. They're still proceeding with the suit. It's kind of waiting on now whether there's going to be criminal charges or not, because that's what's holding up a trade. The Eagles have shown interest. I've heard Denver's shown interest. I've heard the Dolphins have shown interest. Mm. And they're talking like three first-round picks, which is wild if he could pull three first-round picks while catching cases.
Now, look, I think it's important to realize that, one, the NFL hasn't come out and said anything about the Deshaun Watson thing. They haven't, you know, handed down any suspension or anything like that, right? They haven't even put him on the commissioner's exempt list. So that tells us a little bit about what's going on. But then when you read into Deshaun Watson, he's fourth on the depth chart. He's not taking snaps at quarterback. Then it really does make you believe, okay, Houston is looking to trade him. Yeah, I mean, you got to. But it just looks like that Deshaun Watson may be in the clear. And I only say that because the Texans aren't really having him play quarterback at practice. And then he's not on the exempt list in the NFL. So who knows where this could go.
And the frustration is starting to get for the guy. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying he Scott Freer didn't do anything. But you do kind of feel for anyone that people showing up every day, stuffing cameras in your face when there's no update on anything, and you can't even go out there and do your job, you know? So he's starting to say stuff to the cameras like, y'all are here again. You could just tell it's kind of getting to him a little bit.
Yeah, he's famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Cry me a river.
Yeah, I'm sure your pocketbook's doing all
right. Exactly. Regardless.
Yeah. Tim Tebow. Done. Get out of here. I'll give him credit. It lasted longer than I thought it would. But I think that had more to do with old boy, the new coach.
Urban, yeah.
Urban, thank you.
I mean, look, life is about being advantageous. It's about networking. It's about using your connections to get to where you want to go. Tim Tebow has used that, you know, for the last decade, you know, whether it's baseball, whether it's getting a shot at tight end. He looked god-awful trying to block a defensive end on several occasions.
That was one of the worst blocking attempts I've ever seen.
Yeah, and, you know, this is why numbers lie, because I guaranteed the clip that went viral, I guarantee PFF gave him a positive grade, because technically he made the block.
The hole was there. He created the hole.
Yeah. But, quote unquote. But, yeah, I mean, look, Tim Tebow, he probably shouldn't have made it this far. He probably should have got cut after, like, mandatory mini camp a couple months ago. But, I mean, hey.
It's a nice distraction, I guess.
It's good. It's good for football. Like, Tim Tebow getting cut.
I've been hearing rumors of not a great presence in mini camp over there in Jacksonville. They're trying to run it like a college squad, and it's
yeah, Urban. Look, I mean, I don't.
There's doubts in Trevor Lawrence, bro. This was on another podcast, an established podcast with Robert Maines. They were talking about, they're thinking about trading dude because he's not a good fit.
Nah, I don't believe. Look, it's training camp. It's still all speculation. I think Urban Meyer is gonna go with Trevor Lawrence. He did announce it's a quarterback battle between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew, which we'll get into that a little later. But it remains to be seen. College coaches who are very successful in the college game have not always come to the NFL and been successful. So the odds aren't in Urban's favor, but we'll see.
So Pat Mahomes, he's getting his own signature shoe. Now, the only shoes that I can remember that were like hot that were outside of a basketball play were the Ken Griffey's
tonight. No, you missed one, and I thought you were about to say it. You remember when Mike Vick had his own signature shoe back when we were in high school?
Yeah, Mike Vicks were all right.
It had the 7 on it. You had the white, red, black dope scheme. It was a turf shoe. Like, it was nice. But yeah, and that Griffey's were and Griffey. Yeah,
Griffey's,
for sure.
Griffey's were actually the high top joints. Those were nice. I think there was like a hockey shoe too. Someone in hockey got one, like Jaromir Jagr. I think I had him when I was like 7, running around on the playground. Them Payless brands, you know?
Yeah, no comment.
So Pat Mahomes' signature shoe. Does he have a big enough presence where this is going to make waves?
No, it's not, because he's with Adidas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unless he gets his own signature Yeezy.
Now, I will say, since we're talking about shoes and football players, Dak Prescott signed a shoe deal with Jordan about a month and a half ago. Okay. And ever since, he's been wearing Jordans, and he been having some fire on his feet on the sideline, man. So
Dak's living the life right now.
Little known fact, Reebok is owned by Adidas, which is one of the reasons Adidas is a really terrible brand.
Interesting. Look, I didn't say all that. So Adidas sponsors, if you got any connections, if you're listening to us, we at 5-2 Sports Podcast do not necessarily agree with Nate's views on Adidas.
Send me a tracksuit. Big dudes love tracksuits.
Right. I'll rock Adidas all day. Have nothing but
Adidas, Nike. If you're listening, pay me to say that you're awesome. I'll do it. There we go. I'm sellout king, baby. But here's the thing. When you are the parent company and your subsidiary Reebok has better shoes than you, you got to step up your game.
So Kirk Cousins been paying you out of his pocket for like last year.
We don't talk about that.
Y'all hear Kirk Cousins got his hospital sponsorship cut because he came out and said some stuff about the vaccine. Damn. He like worked with like a local hospital from his hometown of Michigan. And he was like partnered with him, where it's like Kirk Cousins says, come to this hospital and get your baby done, you know? And they're like, oh, he's against the vaccine. We're done with him.
Damn. Yeah. Cancel culture.
Yeah. Did you also, the Falcons, first team 100% vaccinated? Everyone in the squad.
It's a big deal, I guess.
It is a big deal.
Yo, do you think. You think the front office personnel is going up to players who are like on the fringe of being cut and saying, look, boy, if you don't get this vaccine, we don't want you here.
Is there any doubt in your mind?
Yeah, you're right. They're definitely doing that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, be a shame if someone wasn't vaccinated tomorrow and not on the roster. Because it's in the best interest of the owners. You don't want no lawsuits, no bad press.
No forfeited games.
No forfeited games. That's real. But I don't think the Falcons really. Maybe the Falcons are like, all right, we're all in. Because this could get us like 2 more wins.
It's funny because it's a team in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
You know, what I heard is that of all the people in Georgia to be vaccinated, the Atlanta Falcons football players are the only one in the state.
Well, Arthur Blank has always seemed like a pretty interesting guy with his pinstripe suits and his Monopoly mustache.
Yeah, I think he got in trouble. Actually, I don't want to say this because I don't know if it's true or not. But you know, one's a liberal when they have some skeletons in the closet from 20 years ago involving women. That's a liberal for you.
Oh, you sounded like a conservative over here.
No, it was just a joke.
Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia.
Alex Smith joining the ESPN staff.
I like it. I think Alex Smith will be probably like the next great. Romo? I don't want to compare him to Tony Romo because Tony Romo was great in the booth. But, I mean, we've had John Gruden, who was really good, who, you know, just went back into coaching. And I was watching the game on NFL Network, and Ron Wolfley, he does games for the Arizona Cardinals, color commentator.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Very deep voice. I love him to death. Like, he's super entertaining.
Ron Wolfley. I'm going to have to pay attention next time he's got a game on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Alex Smith, I think he's going to be great. Honestly, I've listened to him in interviews. Very articulate, smooth talker. And he brings a lot of perspective. Like, a guy like him, he got by on knowing the ins and outs and intricacies of X's and O's. And those are the guys that are good in the booth.
Very, very smart, for sure.
So today, well, actually, before we move on to our main topic today, we are going to be doing a little bit of trivia.
Hey.
Nate got me with a trivia question last week. It was a good one. I can't remember what it was.
But it was a good one.
It was. Like, I didn't
even have... It was Jerry Rice, baby.
Jerry Rice. That's right.
Well, I got a doozy of a trivia question for you fellas today. So without further ado, back to the OG CJ Fantasy Football Trivia. Excuse me, not Fantasy Football, but 5-2 Sports Podcast Trivia. Without further ado, the 5-2 Sports Podcast Trivia question is, which quarterback has the best career fourth quarter passer rating since 1994? I'll read it one more time. Which quarterback has the best career fourth quarter passing rating since 1994.
Man, I feel like I heard this stat once, and it was Tony Romo, because someone said that it was like Tony Romo's actually great in the
fourth quarter. He's so political. So is Tony Romo your answer?
Yeah, I'm going to just throw it out there.
All right, Nate?
My gut says Matthew Stafford, but I think that's only associated because I think he leads the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks. But I'll say Matthew Stafford.
All right. So which quarterback has the best career fourth quarter passer rating since 1994? My man Nasty Nate says Matthew Stafford. Good guess. A lot of fourth quarter comebacks. We know he's clutch. And my man Woody Massey says Tony Romo, which is a really good guess. And probably if I would have asked this question 5 or 6 years ago, Tony Romo would have been the correct answer. However, the quarterback that has the best career fourth quarter passer rating since 1994 is Deshaun Watson with 111.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it's kind of by a landslide. So it's five points over number two, which is Russell Wilson at 106.2. Tony Romo at number three, 102.7. Hey. Aaron Rodgers at number four at 101.9. And Steve Young at number five with a rating of 97.1.
Nice.
Told you guys, man.
Romo was up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely up there. Like I said, you guys were kind of, you know, just knocking my trivia questions out of the park, and I had to add a splitter to my repertoire. So
that's fine. That's fine. I enjoy the more difficult ones.
Sure. That's what I like to hear. So what are we about to get into today, though? What are we talking about?
Man, we're talking about some football, bro. And where does it all start? Starts at the top, the leader, your quarterbacks. And, man, are we going through a transition period in the NFL. We lost Drew Brees. Peyton Manning's out the door. Eli's gone. We got Tom Brady. One pinky toe still in the league. The rest in the grave. Like, still, that pinky toe's got more talent than God. Look, it's crazy. And so we got a slew of new young talent in the league, especially after this draft. We had three quarterbacks taking the first round. And then we had a couple taking the later rounds, too. And the year before, we had the same thing. Let's kick it off with – now, I was going to split the segments into two, but some of these guys fall into our quarterback camp battles, too. So we'll talk about that at the same time for time purposes. The first one would be Mac Jones. He came in 13-19, only 87 yards, but there's one play where you saw it, where the pedigree from Alabama, the drop, the rainbow play, where if they had a better wide receiver in the first ring, like Aguilar or somebody, that would have been a touchdown. And he dropped it like 45 yards downfield, right in the bread box, in the end zone. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I know exactly the play that you're referring to. It was his best throw of the night. Great throw, like you said, right on the money, left side of the field, corner of the
straight out of Alabama's playbook.
And I mean, look, Mac Jones, as you said, 13-19 for 87 yards. I wish Brandon was here, because obviously Brandon is the analytical nut. He's the film nut. You know, I watch my film and I like my analytics, but I mean, not to the degree that Brandon does. Shout out to
and
Brandon.
Check out Brandon's Instagram, FootballScout365. He literally broke down every quarterback right after the game was done. And, you know, like, some of the stuff I'm going to be saying today about each one were from his breakdowns. So, and look, go check those out.
He was a fan of Mac Jones. I think he graded Mac Jones in his debut, maybe a B+, maybe even an A. I'm going C+ here. The stat line looked good. And, look, rookie quarterback, you don't want to see him – like, look panicky in the pocket, and Mac Jones didn't. And you don't want to see a lot of bad throws, and Mac Jones didn't really have any bad throws. But the throws that he made, I felt like it was a little more to be desired. I saw a lot of Alex Smith. I saw a lot of safe throws. They threw a lot of bubble routes, a lot of, you know, just college-level crossers. So I wasn't too impressed. I really don't think we saw much of anything. The throw that he made that the receiver dropped, again, that was a great throw. But then it was also some intermediate throws, you know, in that 10 to 15 yard range. And I don't see enough zip on his ball to feel comfortable and to just say, you know what, this guy is the real deal. Personally, I think the jury is still out.
The zip was definitely lacking,
man.
The accuracy was there, but you saw, like, this isn't a top arm talent.
Not at all. I agree.
But in a Bill Bell offense, on the other hand, you don't need the top arm talent. There was a time when Tom wasn't a top arm talent. That's how that arm was formed over years.
Well, that's fair. And playing with New England, with Belichick, it's all about playing it safe, right? Not turning the ball over.
Yeah. And Mac, that type of quarterback.
Mac is that type of quarterback, which, like, the quarterback battle that's going on now in New England between him and Cam Newton, I think that's really what it's going to come down to. I think Cam Newton, I honestly think he's the more impressive player right now. I mean, he's won an MVP. He's been in the league for a decade now. But
let's
Cam
talk
Newton,
about the last 3 years.
Cam Newton, he hasn't been healthy. I think he's healthy this year. But even still, I'm not quite sure Cam Newton is the answer, but because Cam Newton can be a bit turnover prone, and you know how Belichick feels about playing complimentary football. Yep. Let's run the football, let's play great defense, and let's win the turnover battle.
I love Cam, man. I don't want to see it end like this. It's not looking great.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, Cam, when it goes down, like 10 years pass when he retires, we're going to be looking back at his highlight reel like, who was this guy?
No, for sure.
There was one only Cam Newton.
You know, I did some research, and I want to say I presented it in one of the pods a month, 2 months ago, just about running quarterbacks and their shelf life. And then, I mean, if you go look at guys like Randall Cunningham, Dante Culpepper, Donovan McNabb, even Tony Romo, guys who really like to run around and do extra stuff on the field, they have about a 10-year window, right?
Yeah.
And Cam Newton hit his 10 years, and it's probably all downhill after that.
Well, you know? Unlike those other guys and people we ever saw, Cam was the best goal line running back in the league for about 4 years.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
So who you, I mean, this is obviously way too early, but who you got winning this battle then in camp? Champ.
I think Cam Newton's going to be the week one starter.
All right. I think so too, but I think he has one of those two-interception games, Max, right there on the sidelines.
I hope you're wrong, but probably.
I hope so too. Jalen Hurts, the youngin, over in Philadelphia. He had a decent game. He went to 3 for 7, 54 yards, but he had a big, you know, bigger throws down the field. He goes for it. Like, that's one thing I like about Jalen Hurts, unlike most rookie quarterbacks. Not the check down king. Like, he'll really launch downfield, even not with the best arm.
Yeah, and you know, it was also against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we know how good their defense usually are from year to year. Preseason, regular season, Mike Tomlin is a defensive-minded coach, and he's going to always have his defense ready to play. So we got to keep that in mind. But as you also kind of alluded to earlier in the program, Philly, they've been quiet about Deshaun Watson. So we don't really know how Philly feels about Jalen Hurts. And it's not really a quarterback battle there in Philly. But my man Sirianni did say that it's an open battle between Hurts and Flacco. So.
Oh, he said it's an open battle with Hurts and Flacco right now?
He did. Yep.
Well, man, I thought Joe Flacco signing was a little sneaky, man, honestly, because he looked decent last year at the Jets when he came in relief. He threw that late game pick, but he was moving the ball up and down the field. Looks like his back was finally healthy, because remember, Joe Flacco, he was on his way. Like, he was at the bottom tier, top 12 starters in the league at one point. Like, that was his peak, which is still high. Like, he was in the upper half of the league. And then his back started giving him mad problems. That's when he started throwing, like, a bunch of picks and stuff like that. And it looks like he's gotten that under control, like less spasms.
Joe Flacco is like the present-day Jared Goff if Jared Goff would have won a Super Bowl. But I feel you. Like, he's a starting-level quarterback. I mean, he is. Like, we wouldn't be talking about Joe Flacco at all if he didn't win a Super Bowl. Like, they're just true. You know,
he had the greatest postseason of all time, though, arguably.
Exactly. They're not both pretty decent quarterbacks, but you know. What do you think, Nate?
I think we're doing a disservice to Joe Flacco by putting him in the same conversation as Jared Goff.
Well, no, I mean, I said Jared Goff won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl, which is why we gotta keep him apart.
Yeah.
Super, I agree.
I think that Joe Flacco can play without play action and did so for a very long time, whereas Jared Goff cannot and has not. And I think that Joe Flacco's arm is a bit stronger.
I'm not trying to do a side by side comparison. They're different players for sure.
Flacco and Jared Goff comparison. We're not about that here.
But just as far as roughly being like on the same talent level, they're not really needle movers.
You're right. You know, you're right, CJ. Yeah, I was just giving you a hard time. They are. We agree on this. They are in the same tier.
Hey, you realize you gravitationally pulled that man into your world in Detroit. You asked for this.
You did ask for it.
You know what? You know what?
Speaking of debuts, I'm sorry. Jared Goff actually had a pretty good debut for the Detroit Lions this past weekend. So,
They gave him a decent line, and look what he could do.
Penei Sewell was the right choice, and he's proven it. I hope they give him an early re-sign before he can decide he hates Detroit and wants to get out.
Yo, speaking on the Lions, how jacked is Dan Campbell? Have you seen this man?
He's like workout warrior, baby. Model.
The dude is like, bro, he is legit jacked. How crazy is that?
And he also said that he starts his morning off by drinking like 40 ounces of coffee with like. hella sugar.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird. It's like, I'm like, I don't know how you stay fit. Like, you also doing coke, keep that metabolism up?
Hell yeah. It's probably in place of coke, to be honest with you.
I refuse to slander my current head coach.
Yeah. I mean, I like Dan Campbell. I think, you know, Detroit got a pretty good guy just in, I mean, blue collar city, hard work. Like you said, we're going to come in there, we're going to bite your kneecaps off.
Let's move on to the Chicago Bears. They played the
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, thank you. So it was a matchup of second-year quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. There we go. Thank you. Tongue twister. Tua Tagovailoa, and he's a second-year quarterback who came in last year, set some fire on the Chargers, like had a great game, and then just turned into he can only throw 3 yards downfield every game. It was very weird. Came in with a very strong debut and then just couldn't throw the ball downfield. Ended up going into a platoon with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And so this was his they said he wasn't looking impressive in camp. A lot of rumors of the Dolphins trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. Level up because their window is now. This roster is ready to go now. And they're kind of waiting for Tua to catch up with it. And he came in 8 for 11, 99 yards. Still a little bit of dinking and dunking, but he threw that interception. Any thoughts on Tua? I watched this game a little bit. I didn't catch all of it.
I don't really have a lot of concerns with Tua. I mean, my only concern is health. I mean, I feel like we're kind of splitting hairs when we talk about his stat line. I mean, even last year, I know it was kind of up and down, but we forget he was a rookie, right? And then obviously, when the NFL gets a little film on you, it becomes a little harder. He was ultra-conservative. That may have been by design, and it may have also been because maybe he's not, I mean, he dislocated his hip, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't just like an ankle sprain. So it was a big deal. But I was happy with what I saw out of Tua last year. I know he's conservative, but I think having the offseason this year, I think he'll be fine. A lot of weapons on that Miami's offense, and that Miami defense is good and young and promising. So, now, you know, you did mention he went up against Justin Fields, and I think Justin Fields, out of all the rookie quarterbacks, was the most impressive. He got off to a slow start, but after that, you saw him use his legs. He really sits in the pocket. It's not like he's a one read and just run and go type of guy, but he can make all the throws. And then
Justin Fields looked very impressive.
He looked very impressive. And he also clocked, I heard this, he clocked the fastest time by a Chicago Bear in next gen stats in like the last 4 or 5 years.
On his TD like, run?
Yeah, like at 20 point something miles per hour.
And, you know, they got Tariq Cohen?
Tariq Cohen's been there. Cordero Patterson has been
Devin
there.
Devin Hester?
I said the last 4 or 5 years. Devin Hester ain't been there for a while. He ain't outrunning Devin Hester. Yeah, but
that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, in the last 4 or 5 years, he's been the fastest Bear. So, I mean, I think everything is really translating to what we thought. And even though Matt Nagy said Andy Dalton is our starter, he's kind of recanted his comments on that. And now he's stated, we'll do what's best for the team. And you have to say that because now that locker room is like, hey, Matt, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. That's why we're here. And if Justin Fields gives us the best chance to do that, then why isn't he starting week one?
So. Well, it's funny because you see the difference of like where people's job status is at affecting this outcome. Because like in the flip side, we'll get to them later, but the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy G and Trey Lance, you got time to let Trey Lance grow. Like Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere. He's one of the best play callers in the league. Matt Nagy's job is on the line. So he needs the player that's most dynamic in that lineup to get him to where he needs to be, save his job. So I imagine we see Justin Fields sooner rather than later in Chicago. Coming out of camp, who's winning that battle? Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, the Red Rocket? Gotta suck when your nickname is a dog's penis.
I feel like, on that note, I feel like Andy Dalton will quote-unquote win the starting job. but he'll be given a leash that is so short that you pretty much it's just Nagy's hand around the scruff of his neck, ready to rip him out and put in Justin Fields.
Yeah. I feel that. So Nate, so do you think Andy Dalton will be the starter week one?
I do. Okay. I do. So I do.
But with
a
short leash.
Yes, I do think Andy Dalton will be the starter week one, and I do, like, in all honesty, I think that's the right choice to start the season. But I also think that for Matt Nagy, the leash will be very short on Andy Dalton. The first time you see a game with four picks, Justin Fields going in, and you're gonna ride out Justin Fields for the next couple of games, let him adjust and see what you got. But until then, like, let Andy Dalton be Andy Dalton. It's definitely the best line he's ever played with. Definitely the best run game he's ever had, and arguably comparable receivers to what he's had in the past.
Yeah.
You want to hear a hot take, guys?
Oh, ready snap!
I'm so, y'all, like, literally,
this take's so hot. He's shaking right now.
Literally, there's a difference when the eventually, like, a better athlete just trounces a decent limited player. And I think we saw in that first game that Justin Fields, it was really underrated, the athlete that he was. And honestly, I feel like the NFL owes this man an apology, because he can make all the throws. He can run at an elite level. Like, there's only like four guys we could say that about, and they're like all top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, and look, let's not forget, Matt Nagy came from Kansas City, from that Andy Reid offense. Yep. He loves to be versatile. Yep. He likes gimmicky stuff. And when you get Justin Fields in there, guess what you can be? You can be a lot more versatile, a lot like they were last year when they had Trubisky, took him out, went to Nick Foles, and then they went back to Trubisky. And the offense kind of opened up a little bit because they had that running threat at quarterback. David Montgomery found some seams and some yards later in the season after they made that switch when they went on the run to end the season. So, I mean, hey, why not Justin Fields, right?
Yeah. No, it's real. And I think he's going to be – I was so impressed. He did fumble, but he started off – well, like Brandon said in his synopsis, Justin Fields started off rocky. You could tell he had nerves.
Super rocky. Yeah,
like, he missed his first six passes, but he only had six incompletions.
But you know what? It's only been one other quarterback that comes to my mind who said, you know what? The game is actually, it's not as fast as I thought it was going to be. Patrick Mahomes said that a couple years ago, and I was like, what? Justin Fields said that in his post-game press conference. He was like, it was actually slow, to be honest with you.
Well, so, I've been saying this for the last couple of years. College football, like, the gap is closed. Not a ton. Like, there's still a huge difference. But the speed of the game it's very similar.
Everybody fast, for sure.
I mean, definitely if you're playing at a top level. Like, if you're playing at a top level, you're playing at Ohio State, you're playing at Clemson, you're playing at Alabama, you're playing the guys that you're going to play against in the NFL anyways. Yeah. So that, like, at that level, you're just like, well, I guess he's going to be that fast. He's going to be Micah Parsons fast every time he's coming off the edge.
And also, Nate, and he's going against one of the better defenses every day in practice, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're going against that Chicago Bears defense every day.
That Ohio State secondary has produced a first-round pick, like, four of the past 6 years.
Yeah, something crazy.
Can the Lions get a return on Jeff Okuda?
I wouldn't sell on him yet.
Not yet.
Corners usually take a year or two.
I'll trade him for Justin Herbert right now, straight up.
We're good. we're, man, as a representative of the Chargers delegation, we're good. So let's go, Trevor Lawrence.
That your fifth favorite team, Woody? I get him confused.
Yeah, I was about to say something like, how many delegations he on?
Yeah.
Just two. Same two.
No.
USC, UCLA.
Oh, we're talking college. Wait, UCLA. Giants. What are you talking about?
Giants, Chargers, Rams.
Chargers, the Rams.
I don't know. I am not a UCLA fan. It's hard to keep up. I don't know what you're talking about. Look,
that just sounded rehearsed. I remember what you told me off. I ain't gonna do you like that. I ain't gonna. Let's move on.
I said I liked watching UCLA basketball.
Exactly. See, I won't even gonna say nothing.
Yeah. I still head to head. USC football cut them. Just cut him.
Don't step outside. Don't go out in LA today.
But Trevor Lawrence, 6'9", 71 yards. You know, it was whatever. I'm still waiting to be wowed by this man. I'm sorry. There's hate inside me.
I'm scared for Trevor Lawrence because there's not an offensive line in front of him.
Bro, that first play, yep. That first play where they just were on that man.
Yeah.
That was wild.
It's legitimately, would you compare it to, it's going to be compared to Joe Burrow last year. That's the best, that's the only measure of a comparison we can take is Joe Burrow went in, no offensive line, very little help, got the absolute he ended up injured for the rest of the season because of that.
There was a couple hits where literally I'd hit the chat afterwards. I think Joe Burrow just died.
Trevor Lawrence, he's actually in a worse situation than what Joe Burrow was. Like, because even if you look at Joe Burrow's situation, if you put them side by side, Joe Burrow had Joe Mixon behind him, right? Terrible offensive line, but then they went and got him T. Higgins, a rookie, and he had Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green still, right? And then when you go over and you look at Jacksonville, and it's Trevor Lawrence, a bad offensive line. You have James Robinson, which I wouldn't put him in the same category as Joe Mixon yet, although he's well on his way. And then, I mean, you really can't name a guy on the outside in Jacksonville who you can say, oh, that guy's good. I know they got Marvin Jones and DJ Chark, but, I mean, hey, those – name me a pro bowler. You can't. You feel what I'm saying? So
I know you go get your guy. Like, I know you go get your guy because he loves Jamar. But, man, when you just think back on it, it's like you got your franchise young quarterback come back from ACL and you got a bookend left tackle.
Penei Sewell, or do we get this Jamar Chase guy who arguably is going to be an all-time great? And you're like, well, the guy that Penei is going to be protecting says he doesn't want to be protected. He wants this guy, so we're just going to do what this guy wants. Sounds like a plan. All right, good draft.
If he wasn't coming off an ACL, I get it, but like – now when you're hearing, like, complications, you're just thinking about him back there. Like, oh,
all man. I know, here's all I know. All I know is thank you, Cincinnati Bengals organization.
I mean, y'all could have used Jamar Chase, too. So,
No, we couldn't, because guess who's throwing him the gosh darn ball?
Okay, all right.
I'm going to find it on wax, because, look, if I recall correctly, I remember Nate being a little bit upset that the Lions didn't go receiver at 7, and instead they went left tackle. If I recall correctly, I'm going to scrub some of these episodes. And I mean, what you look,
could
Nate.
Right. You could be right.
You're entitled to change your opinion. And after seeing what you know what? Sometimes when you change your opinion, you're a smart man.
Here's the deal. If I did say that Nate was a less smart, less intelligent person at that time, and now I'm a new revitalized Nate, and he believes that Penei Sewell was the correct choice the entire time. That being said, so back to Trevor Lawrence, I am fearful for Trevor Lawrence's season. I'm not a huge fan of his situation, the help that he does not have. I really hope that the Jacksonville organization is prepared to like build around him the coming years, because I better see them take left tackle, offensive line, wide receivers over the next couple years. Like, granted, Urban went best available with their second first round pick, right? They got Travis Etienne. But I don't agree with that pick. I think there was enough talent on the board that you could have gone, Travis Etienne's the best available. We don't need him. We're going to go this direction, and they would have been better off.
Who would they have taken?
They could have got Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney. He was still there.
Amari
Rodgers.
There was an offensive lineman on the board at the time, too.
Well, their wide receivers look fine. Marvin Jones, little fantasy nugget here, y'all. He looked like the number one. Like, they brought him in for a reason, and Marvin Jones has shown, like, he's a 1,000-yard receiver still.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is one of my favorite receivers in the league. And he didn't become that till like a couple months ago, because I peeped his Instagram. Man, this muff, mother effer be on there singing, like making videos, living really? His best life. He could, yeah, bro. Like I'm vicariously living through him. Like Marvin Jones was who I wanted to be growing up. Just some singing ass motherfucker that's catching passes in the NFL. Like, damn.
An R&B singer. You want to be Kyrie Irving in the NFL, huh?
Bro, he's great, man. He's Marvin Jones.
Yo, I'm still waiting for that Kyrie Irving R&B album. You know it's out there, right? And he's never going to release it.
I don't ever want to hear it.
I want to hear it so bad. I bet it's so bad. Oh, man. I bet it's some type of terrible. Like, and if it was hot, I'd eat my words. But I know. I just know in my heart of hearts that it's so bad. But Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew, the stash. Man, is there another quarterback in the league that you're rooting for? More than Gardner Minshew? Like, you just love the guy. He said he's not taking dumps because number two isn't acceptable.
Oh, hell yeah. I love that.
I respect Gardner Minshew so much more right now.
I think Gardner Minshew is a starting level quarterback in this league. Like, I do. I don't necessarily think he's great, but if you kind of look at
the next Alex Smith.
I mean, he's the next Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's more of a gunslinger than Alex Smith.
But, you know, like, he's super accurate, and he hasn't had a lot to, you know, to deal with around him, right? It's not like he's been on these great Jacksonville offenses. You know, he's kind of asked to go in there, make plays, don't turn the ball over, and he's kind of done that, right?
Yeah.
And now here we are. Yeah, exactly. So I think Gardner Minshew is definitely worthy of a starting job. And I think if Trevor Lawrence, if he wins that outright and if it's clear cut, I think we might see Gardner Minshew on the move.
Okay. Who do you see winning? I mean, it has to be Lawrence, right?
Yeah, Trevor. I mean, he's number one pick. You put all the marbles in Trevor the Lawrence,
hype,
regardless.
Not just number one pick with the hype.
Number like one pick with the hype for sure.
Like, there's been number ones where there was a debate. There was no debate. Like, they talked about this man like Andrew Luck.
Right. Sunshine. They've been talking about him since his freshman year.
I didn't buy it with Andrew Luck level hype. Like, he might be good, but I just didn't see it like I saw Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Me neither.
Back-to-back championships. Don't see it. You know what I mean?
I mean, hey.
Let's talk Zach Wilson. Man, he's lucky that he looked decent. That's all I'm saying. Because the fans were this close. He wasn't ready for New York. They were this close. They were already burning the jersey. And then he bought himself a little bit of time.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's first and foremost, I like Zach Wilson. I like his swag. All right. You just look at him. He just oozes confidence, right? Just, but, you know, he had a good game. 6 for 9, 63 yards versus a decent Giants defense. So, I mean, by all means, last thing you want to see is your rookie quarterback who you drafted in the top three to go out there and put up a dud in a preseason debut, right? So, I mean, it was a win-win. Again, we can't read too much into any of this. I think out of all the guys we've mentioned already, Justin Fields is the one I'm ready to anoint. All the other guys, yeah, they look good, but I'm not really ready to suggest anything yet. But Zach Wilson, it was a good debut.
Yeah, and he showed some arm talent too. Like, made some tough throws in tight windows.
Which we've all known that he has the arm talent, right? A lot of these guys,
the best talent of all the rookie quarterbacks,
possibly so. We see guys come into the league all the time with arm talent, right? And we see them make these crazy throws during their pro day, but then can you do it with 50,000 fans in the stands and a 330-pound defensive tackle coming at your neck? You know what I'm saying? And he seems to be able to do it, so that's good.
Yes. Jordan Love. Now, knock on wood, this is my favorite of all the youngsters' debuts. I know it was against the Texans. And the Texans should have a historically bad defense this year. Time will tell. Because that's, you just look at that roster, there ain't a lot of names on there that anybody knows. Like, yeah. I'd bet like $20 on anyone who could name five Texans starters on defense. Right.
No, that's fair, man. Jordan Love, I had a dream like a couple weeks ago, and it was Jordan Love. They went to put him in into a preseason game, and he couldn't find his helmet, so he didn't play, right? Like, well, I don't. I
feel like the Aaron Rodgers smear campaign has really worked on how people view it, Jordan Love. Like, we should get this man to steal a first-round quarterback.
I know. It's so bad. It's so bad. I just saw something on TV this morning where they, like, they put up a picture of Jordan Love, a little video, and he's making, like, a sad face. So, like, the smear campaign is definitely working because I'm like, man, who is this guy?
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad. And, like, I like, do you guys think Aaron Rodgers feels a little bit bad for how?
No, not at all. He's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. He's my asshole.
But he's an asshole. They trying to get Clay Matthews to come to Green Bay now with posts they put up on Instagram stories. Aaron Rodgers put up a post of a picture of Clay Matthews talking about bring him back. Randall Cobb shared it, reposted on his story, like, bring him back. David Bakhtiari did the same thing.
Yo, they trying to run it back.
Dude, they're basically like, you know what? Aaron's like, you know what? Packers think they run this organization. Guess again.
Yeah.
I run this organization.
Unfortunately, Green Bay still runs the organization. I'm not a fan of stuff like that, man. It's just...
Aaron Rodgers is trying to exert his Tom Brady onto the Packers, and he doesn't have the
courage. I don't think it'd be that bad, man. Clay Matthews showed he could do stuff with the Rams still as of a year ago.
Was that last year or was that the year before?
He didn't play last year, did he?
No, he didn't play last year. Wait, actually...
I think it was the year before. See, that's the thing. Clay Matthews
didn't play last year, I'm pretty sure.
But it was because he wanted more money from the Rams, and they didn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, look, how much money would you pay a pass rusher that's 53?
53?
I mean, I'm just saying, he's old. He's up there.
He did not play in 2020.
And then I believe in 2019, I think he had like 6 sacks. I mean, he was productive.
He had 8 sacks.
8 sacks. Okay.
GM shooting down the Clay Matthews already. He came out and said, no discussions about that. All right, so let's look at Zach Wilson. Well, time will tell. Jordan Love, those seam throws across the middle, those tight spirals on a rope right over the defenders, perfect left. That was the thing that I saw where I was very impressed. It wasn't just the stats. It was like the actual velocity of the throws, like, you saw the receivers had to, like, double clap the ball because he threw it so hard a couple times. Like, the man's got it a cannon.
That was in a scouting report.
Yeah. Now, my favorite quarterback of this rookie class, Trey Lance. Man, it was everything I thought it was going to be. It was the 5 of 14. Like, didn't really know what to do with the ball. But when he figured it out, it was big. 128 yards. 90-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, that's real. Look, Trey Lance throws a beautiful deep ball. He's versatile, a lot like Justin Fields. Now, this is a legit quarterback camp battle, in my opinion, because we've heard rave reviews of Trey Lance coming out of camp, right? But Jimmy G has had, from by all accounts, a really good camp as well. So I think Jimmy G goes in as a starter. I wouldn't even necessarily say he has a short leash, but I think this is the most interesting quarterback battle, in my opinion.
I think the 49ers are kind of backed into a hole here because Jimmy G destroyed all of his trade value last year, and they kind of need to boost him back up to be able to get that second round pick.
Yeah.
So I think he has at least 4 starts.
I feel that.
And then we'll see midseason. Someone might swing and get him, come an injury or something like that.
I feel that.
And this is the brilliance of John Lynch's GM style, front loading that Jimmy G contract. He's an easy contract to move now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They caught him at the right window, paid him up front, and now he's easy to move.
Yep. And look, let's not get it twisted, all right? I'm not the biggest fan of Jimmy G, but guess what? When he plays, when he starts, they win.
Took him to a Super Bowl. Straight up.
Sure. So, I mean, hey, the proof is in the pudding. When he's back there, the 49ers are winning. So, that's important.
Mm-hmm. But Trey Lance, man, lightning in a bottle.
He is. And Woody, before we move on, I know you're probably looking at 9 and 10, like, oh, are we I just figured I throw these two on here. Just give them a little bit of love.
Well, Jacob Eason, I was very impressed. Because I just didn't think he had it.
Woody going on wax.
Totally understand.
2 years ago, he was like, I watched Jacob Eason. He is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. 2 years
ago, that was 2 weeks ago, bro.
Sorry. I meant 2 weeks. I apologize.
Eason had a pretty good game. 15 to 21, 183 yards.
Like I said, it's preseason. It's fine. But, like, you know, he ain't going to be taking over the starting position anytime.
Hey, look, Jacob Eason, I mean, he has good pedigree. He went to University of Georgia as a five-star quarterback, one of the top-ranked quarterbacks in the nation out of high school that year. And then what's my man? Jake Fromm actually came and took his starting spot because Jacob Eason was dealing with injury going into his sophomore year, and then Jacob Eason transferred out to Washington. So, I mean, he's not a bad player. And then Davis Mills, I want to talk about this guy because Brandon had kind of been on this guy doing his homework just leading up to the draft, and he was like, Davis Mills is a guy who could be like he could be the Kirk Cousins or the Dak Prescott in this particular draft. He was drafted, I want to say, in the third or fourth round. And he is another one who was one of the top-ranked quarterbacks coming out of high school. And then he dealt with some injury early in his career. And a lot of times when you watch him, you'll see this big, bulky knee brace on him. But he has some upside to him, too. He was 11 of 22, 412 yards and an interception. So you don't want to see the interception. But again, that was his debut as a rookie. So it's not bad.
And this wasn't in the outline, but obviously we've gotten past the quarterbacks here in the close of the show. If you saw any young talent out there that showed you something, I think we should drop some nuggets for the fantasy guys because we got a lot of drafts coming up. Obviously, look out for CJ's next fantasy show. But just here right now, I was two guys because it's about the games you watch, like the stuff you see. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I wanted to see what the Panthers were going to look like this year. And two guys really caught my eye that I was very surprised. Chuba Hubbard, seven carries, 88 yards. And Terrence Marshall, three catches, 88 yards.
Yeah. No, those are some good names. Chuba Hubbard, I do have a magnifying glass on him.
I like calling him Chuba.
I mean, he came from Oklahoma State. They actually thought that he would have went into the draft last year, but he elected to come back to Oklahoma State. And then Matt Rhule, who drafted him, coached down at Baylor. And he was a big fan of him because they played against him in the Big 12. So that's a guy who I've really had circled. That's a good call out. But Woody, before we go, since we're talking about preseason debuts, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit.
You guys didn't have any young guys that you saw that impressed you? Skill position wise?
I mean, biggest one, Ramondre Stevenson, running back for New England Patriots. He had a really good game. He broke a long one.
Damian Harris fan club sunk a little bit.
And look, yeah, it is. That New England backfield might be even more muddier than what it was, to be honest.
I love Damian Harris. I still love him because last year it's the eye test. The best New England Patriot football team on the field last year is when Damian Harris was running the ball.
No, for sure.
But Stevenson looked great. Can never have too many running backs. That's just never. Facts.
Never. So, look, I just wanted to pump the brakes a little bit. I know we're talking about quarterbacks and preseason debuts. And, look, all the rookie quarterbacks, they all played really well, especially the five that were drafted in the first round. Mm-hmm. But let's not forget that it's preseason. And because of that, I did some research. I went into my bag. You know, I go deep. And here's a list of some impressive quarterback debuts in recent history. Okay?
All right.
So in 2010, Stephen McGee, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, in his preseason debut, he was 14 of 24 for 208 yards, three touchdowns, and 25 rushing yards. Hell of a preseason debut. I don't know where he is now. Probably somewhere bagging groceries. Brett Hundley, Green Bay Packers. In 2015, his preseason debut, he was 16 of 23 for 236 yards and four touchdowns.
Yo, Brett Hundley, there's been three UCLA quarterbacks ever in my lifetime. But I was like, man, I wish we had them. One was Brett Hundley, Cade McNown. Cade McNown was the truth, man. That long ball was crazy. And the bust from a couple years ago. The man they thought was going to be the next Aaron Rodgers.
Rosen
was nasty in college, boy.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't have it upstairs. Rich boy, rich kid.
And so... to round it out, the last two, Ryan Mallett, 2011.
He was true, too, in that first one. That arm looked impressive.
It looked super impressive. Everyone was raving about him. I think New England got him at the back of the first, maybe the beginning of,
the second.
And, man, they thought they had got one. Ryan Mallett, in 2011, his preseason debut, he was 12 of 19 for 164 yards and a touchdown. And the arm talent was popping all off the screen. Mm-hmm. And now he's out of the league, somewhere back in groceries probably. Or he's from Arkansas. He could be in a trailer somewhere, you know, hitting the spoon.
I was thinking more of the glass pipe. But...
and then just to round out my last one, the most recent one, I figured I'd throw on here for you guys. And this guy, he's not a complete bust. Not yet.
He's got a good wide receiver core. I think he's gonna be all right.
But you got Sam Darnold in 2018 with the New York Jets. His preseason debut was 13. He was 13 for 18 for 96 yards, which is similar to what Mac Jones had this past weekend, except Sam Darnold did throw for a passing touchdown in his rookie debut.
And Sam Darnold also has a cannon compared to Mac Jones.
And he has a cannon compared to Mac Jones. So again, I say all that. I just want to
this is all week one quarter of play.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not anoint any of these guys. If you want to anoint Justin Fields, I have no problem with it. I totally get it. I think he's the real deal. But some of these other guys, let's just wait and see a little more first.
And as always, you want to check out some clips of these youngins and reviews. Check out Brandon's Instagram at FootballScout365. He did full synopsis breakdowns. And written on the Instagram with the clips right there. You can just see it and scroll through them. Looks great. And for a couple of the dudes, wasn't able to catch the game, like Zach Wilson, I relied off Brandon's clips because I did not see that Jets game.
The only thing I'm going to say about Brandon is like that teacher in high school or college that you had. That was your favorite teacher because he curved everything. Yeah. Right? That's all I'm going to say. Brandon is super, super, super duper nice. He curves everything. So yeah. I don't think he probably said the one negative thing about any of those guys.
Hyped up Mac Jones a little bit.
We'll see.
He definitely looked better than Cam. And I didn't last, man. I'm biased.
Well, you know, Cam throws the ball downfield though. Like Cam.
That's true.
I saw some clips of Cam in training camp at, you know, in 11-on-11 practice. But also during a preseason game, he did let it rip, and he did make some impressive NFL throws.
Here's the thing. Cam will let it rip down the middle of the field. It's the sidelines where the problem is, and it always has been.
No, so, for sure.
Yeah. As always, guys, check out Football Scout 365, our sister site. Check out our website at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com and our Instagram, of course. And I know we keep saying it, but it's right around the corner. Where some of us got a move coming up, boy, over here. But the video set up, you're going to be seeing some video stuff coming soon, some breakdowns, some hot takes. Get my Stephen A. on. And as always, guys, thank you, MCash, for that fire theme song. Go check it out. Yeah.
Yo.
My mama says she know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing that finesse.